go. Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to an early edition of Tariq Radio. We're early this week. I had to get it out the way because I got a lot of stuff to do this week, ladies and gentlemen. But we're getting it cracking early this week, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Everybody's coming on in the room right now. Everybody share this link because we are early and people weren't expecting an early broadcast. But we're live right now. Let everybody know that we're live. While everybody's piling on in the room, we're going to take a quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to come back and chop up that good game right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, Squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to cookieconfidant.com. to get these cookies. Black-owned company, man. They got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com.
Protect yourself and your loved ones with high-quality self-defense products. Urban Guerrilla Security was created to help arm and educate the Black community on self-defense. Our products range from pepper spray, stun guns, security cameras, and much more. You can never be too safe. Visit UrbanGorillaSecurity.com today. That's UrbanGorillaSecurity.com.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
If you're ready to step up your Second Amendment game right now, then you need to check out the most well-respected, thorough, Black-owned firearms dealership in the United States, and that is Redstone Firearms. Redstone Firearms is headquartered out of Burbank, California, but you can purchase firearms and ammo from their website wherever you are around the country. Not only does Redstone provide the most top-of-the-line weapons for your protection, they also offer consulting, education on up-to-date gun laws, and firearms training. So go to RedstoneFirearms.com right now. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Redstone Firearms.
If you are tired of buying expensive cocktails that are weak and leave you disappointed, order a drink from us at LiddyWithLee.com. All of our drinks are made with quality liquor, organic sweeteners, and natural juices. We ship domestically and offer delivery services throughout the NYC area. Here at Liddy with Lee LLC, we strive to provide you with a lit experience in a bottle. Follow us on Instagram at Liddy with Lee or check our website, LiddyWithLee.com.
Have you ever asked yourself when will Black folks get divine justice? This is because our people do not have a divine force to call upon like the Haitians did in 1804. I'll teach you how to call on the universal God and manifest your desires. Whether it's money, love, a better career, a successful business, or better people to date, and most of all, the removal of pesky white supremacy, go to starknowledge.net now. And don't worry, this is not voodoo. You'll be learning to call on the divine force that you are already very familiar with. Go to starknowledge.net now.
don't stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend
yourself
if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak.
Yeah.
Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on earth. Yeah.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever do that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back right here on Tariq Radio. We're live. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I hope you got your Ogun. That Ogun Juice commercial be banging. I love that joint. Y'all need to go to ogunjuice.com to get your Ogun Juice if you do not have it. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of stuff that we got to chop up game about this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of stuff we're going to touch on. I hope you got your buck-breaking DVDs or your buck-breaking stream. You can stream it at buckbreakingmovie.com, or you can get the DVD at buckbreakingmovie.com. Still the number one documentary on Amazon. Still doing great numbers, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff we're going to touch on. We're not going to be on too long tonight. Not going to be an incredibly long broadcast. I might even take some calls later just to chop it up with the family. We're about to go into production for the next film about the Foundation of Black American Maroons. That's going to be happening real soon. I need all my LA actors and extras and martial art people and fighters and all that. I need y'all to holler at me because we're going to be doing casting out here in LA probably in the next few weeks. I'm going out of the country for a quick minute. I'm going to check out some museums down in Central America to get some ideas for the Hidden History Museum that we're going to put together out here. That's still a thing. And I'm going to keep people abreast on the progress on what we're doing as far as the Hidden History Museum. We're still looking for a location. And I want to just kind of vibe and correspond with the family just to see if some of these locations, in your opinion, would work. The ideal location is going to be on Crenshaw. We want something on Crenshaw. Right now, they don't have a lot of vacant or available buildings on Crenshaw for sale. Now, they have some stuff around it, but I want something right around that Leimert Park area. I really, really, really want to get something in that area. There's some things on Jefferson Avenue that's doable. I want the LA family. Y'all know about Jefferson Avenue. That's right, you know, right off Crenshaw, up on the northern part of Crenshaw. There's a couple of spots on Jefferson Avenue that might work, and I want to talk to the family. Would that be something that you think that we can get good traffic on? Because it's not in the mix, but it's still out there in the neighborhood, so to speak. Again, the ideal location is Crenshaw around Leimert Park. But again, there's a lot of vacancies and a lot of buildings for sale around Jefferson. So we're trying to make it. We're trying to see what's going to work. So I want to get the opinions of people like, hey, is this a cool location? Do y'all think this will work? You know, we want to get feedback from the community because this is something we're doing for the community. But Jefferson has a couple of spots that's very doable. I'm going to be looking at those later this week. They have, because we want a big space. We need something big because we're going to have a museum section and we're going to have a screening room section. So we need something pretty big. You know? So we'll keep everybody abreast. And plus, when we go check out these spots, I'm going to film some of the stuff and I want to get the feedback from the family. I want to get y'all's feedback on some of this stuff. But I digress. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be on that pretty soon, so I'll keep y'all abreast on that. Speaking of LA, all my LA people, we're going in the studio this week. Any females out here who can sing? We need some extra female background singers out here in LA. If you can sing, we're finishing up actually the Mink Slide EP. I'm doing that while I got a few days worth of time that's free, because I've been procrastinating on that for a minute. Shout out to everybody hitting the Cash App right now. KingFlex818, $KingFlex818 on Cash App. But yeah, background singers, sisters, ladies, if you can sing, we're going to hire you to come in the studio tomorrow night. We're doing a session. We're working on the Mink Slide EP that we got coming out this summer. Email me info@TariqElite.com if you can get your sang on, okay? Because sometimes when I ask for singers, you know, sometimes people send me some janky shit. And again, we got some fellas that's going to come. We got some fellas that's coming. We got, you know, we got my brothers who sing background. We got some of the female background singers coming, but we need a couple of more people to come on through to kind of fill this thing out. You understand? And y'all better be able to get your sing on. Don't come in there, you know, and I'll be like, hey, let me hear what you got. And y'all be on there talking about some shit like this. Hold on. Y'all be on some shit like this.
To the left.
Y'all be fucking up.
To the left.
Y'all be in there with some shit like this.
To the left. Everything you own in a box. To the left. In the closet. That's my stuff.
Yes. All right. So don't be singing some shit like that. We need y'all to come through and come correct. So info@TariqElite.com. That's where y'all hit me up. Info@TariqElite.com. Also, you know what? Another thing too. All around the country. Brothers, do we have any brothers and sisters who are sculptors, who know how to do sculptures, like, because we need some stuff for the museum. We're getting all this stuff for the museum ready now. I want to find some brothers here already who's thorough with sculpting, like busts and things like that. So if we got any brothers and sisters who are sculptors, please holler at me, info@TariqElite.com. info@TariqElite.com. Sculptors, people who can do real thorough paintings. Y'all holler at me, man, because I want to network with you so we can really start the process of getting this thing popping. info@TariqElite.com. info@TariqElite.com, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on? Everybody's still talking about the Mayweather fight, the Mayweather-Logan fight. There's video that came out where people pointed out where there was a part in the fight where it looked like Mayweather accidentally knocked Logan out and Mayweather was holding him up. Now, Logan came out and denied this. Oh, this is bullshit. I think that's what happened too. When you look at the video, it looks like Mayweather knocked this dude out for a quick second and Mayweather had to hold him up. And it seemed like that was part of the contract. Look, this whole thing, it was an exhibition fight. It was a money grab and that's good. I'm not knocking that. But what it was, I think part of the contract was that Mayweather can't really mess this guy's career up. Because if Mayweather had to knock this dude out, you know, this Logan guy is really trying to get a career in boxing. So him getting knocked out by Mayweather, that would have kind of buried his boxing career. So Mayweather, I think they put it together to make it seem like, okay, this is going to be a good little money-making opportunity. It's a good form of entertainment. You know, we're going to mix it up for real, but, you know, I ain't going to knock you out. And I'm not going to mess up your career, whoop-de-whoop. So I think Mayweather was holding the guy up so he wouldn't fall down. It looked like Mayweather knocked this dude out. Mayweather was giving him that business. Mayweather was giving the dude that work. It looked like he actually knocked this dude out. And also notice how they didn't announce a winner. Nobody was designated a winner or a loser. So that was part of the contract too. Again, so that Logan wouldn't look like a loser. You know, this was something to help bolster his career. It was made to kind of get his career popping, and it was a good bag for Floyd Mayweather. Now, a lot of people, you know, talk crap about Mayweather making money. Oh, Mayweather's making this money. Look, I celebrate when black people can make money. I want black folks to stop with this Mayweather hate. Mayweather's supposed to make money. This brother's making good, legitimate money. I want black folks to stop hating on that. Get out of the habit of hating on that. Mayweather is a good businessman. Y'all need to learn from this shit. Learn, man. Learn. Mayweather is doing good business. You're supposed to get a bag based on your brand. Mayweather has a brand. And he's making a bag based on his brand. He can orchestrate these exhibition fights or whatever. He's retired from the sport. He got the bag from that. And now he's still making money in retirement with these exhibition fights. I take my hat off to my dude getting his business game popping. Y'all learn from that. That's smart. And my man has all his marbles. He's not like all these other boxers that you see when they retire. These niggas can barely talk. And they doing Taco Bell commercials and shit. Hey, you get you a good chalupa for $9.95. Taco Bell is very good. You know, he ain't on that. This dude is still getting a bag on his own terms. That's a clever, smart dude, man. I got nothing but respect for my man's business mind. Black folks, get off that hating for no reason. Y'all hate, scared of money. I talked about that before. Niggas are so scared of goddamn money. When you see another black folk person make money, oh Lord, you making all that money, you's gonna get us in big trouble. Where is JJ getting all this cash? Y'all niggas turning to Florida Evans. Let this dude make his paper. And what I like about it, he makes his paper exploiting the racial undertones behind his fights. That's another thing that I like. Y'all better peep game. The reason why Floyd makes so much money is because of the racial undertone. Same way a lot of other black boxers did. Jack Johnson made money based on racial undertones. The fact that white people want to see a great white hope. They want to see the black person get knocked out. The smart boxers played on that. Muhammad Ali played on that. Talking all that shit. White folks wanted to see him get knocked out. White folks did not like Muhammad Ali initially. Let's be very clear. Muhammad Ali was not liked by white people. Later on down the line, you know, he became an icon and white people fake praise him and all that. But Muhammad Ali was not liked by white people. They wanted to see him get knocked out. They thought he was just a big mouth, loud mouth, moron. So they wanted to see him get put in his place. And it didn't happen when he was in his prime like that. And Muhammad Ali, he played on that. He played on those racial undertones. And just like with Mayweather, people are desperate to see a white person or at least a non-black person knock this dude out, and it has not happened. So people will pay great money just on hopes and wishes that he would get knocked out and put in his place. And he's capitalizing off that all the way to the bank. And I love it. I love it. You dig? So we got to stop hating on our brother. Shout out to Mayweather. Because see, a lot of these guys get out here and they get buck broken. Speaking of buck broken, I saw a story, man. It was a Pakistani Muslim dude up there in Seattle. And his son, he has a 16-year-old son who is living with autism. And I think his son had a breakdown and they put him in some kind of clinic to kind of get him right. And when the dad went to pick the son up at the clinic, the people at the clinic told the dad that, hey, your son has now been, he's re-identified his gender, and now your son identifies as a girl, so you gotta identify him by his right gender or we're not going to release him back to you. So the dad kind of said, okay, look, well, I'm about to go take my son to go get gender reassignment surgery. The dad got that son, quit his job, packed the family up, and got the hell on out of town. And I ain't mad at him. Family's getting heavy out here. Yeah, man, I think this happened in Seattle. I just saw a story. Somebody sent me a story on that. This thing is getting heavy out here. This buck-breaking thing is real. Everybody hit that thumbs up button. Hit the thumbs up button and also repost this on your social media. Repost this on your Twitter to let everybody know we're live here. RIP to Monster Cody, the OG 8-Trey Gangsta Crip Monster Cody, who wrote the best-selling book Monster, the autobiography of an LA gang member. He died today. Monster Cody died today. 8-Trey Gangsta. I don't know the details of his death. I don't know how he died, but the brother died today, so RIP to him, RIP to his family. The brother was still in good shape for a long time. Monster Cody, he was, I want to say he was pushing in his 60s and in very good shape for his age. But I don't know what he died of. So, you know, rest in peace to the family. Have y'all seen this stuff going on between Gary Owens and his black wife, his black ex-wife? They're going through a divorce. And, you know, it's getting kind of messy. She's been calling him out on social media for being emotionally abusive. And she's talking about how he used their interracial relationship and marriage and his biracial children for punchlines in his jokes. Sister, save it. No. You can't have bedwench buyer's remorse. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear bedwench buyer's remorse. No, you was with this dude for umpteen years. Don't start trying to get some sympathy now. I remember when she was in a little skit with him where she was yelling nigga for him. Remember that? Oh, sister, no. You're not going to have bedwench remorse. You were sitting up there running interference for your white ex-husband. They did a little skit where he was like, I can't say the N-word, but my wife can. She was like, yeah, nigga. She was bedwinching it all the way up. Oh, she was bedwinching it up when she was with him. No, don't play the game now. Don't try to pull the race thing out now. No, ma'am. No, thank you. Oh, don't try to pull it out now. No. After you done been ghetto gagged, don't try to come back now talking about how bad things was and how you were exploited. No, you were right along with the program. No, ma'am. We're not going to play that game, ma'am. We are not playing that game. People are real funny style out here. See, a lot of people want to play the bedwinch mammy game. And then when it backfires on them, they want to come around trying to be like, hey, y'all. Hey, big head. Nah, we're not playing that game. See, we're getting on code. It's all about being on code. Okay, we got to understand that. And we got to understand when people are getting off code, we have to treat them like people who are off code. Remember, during the Spanish Inquisition, and I've talked about this before, the Spanish Inquisition was about getting all the white, quote unquote, Christians on code against the black Moors, who were Muslims, primarily in Spain. When they were having the Reconquista, meaning they were going to reconquer Spain and get that black Moorish element out of there, they had an Inquisition, meaning anybody who was off code trying to assist the Moors, you guys are public enemy number one, we're going to torture your ass. The Inquisition, they were torturing other white people to make sure they got on code when dealing with these Moors that they're trying to get out of here. You see? People take serious things into consideration when you have a war going on and you have people who are off code during the war. And we have that bad. We have a lot of these mammies and sambos. We're the only people who have mammies and sambos who will speak out against us getting tangibles. No other group will speak out against their own group getting tangibles. But we have folks out here, the minute we start talking about getting tangibles, we got these Negroes and mammies and bedwinches coming out here trying to talk against it. I just saw a video of this one mammy named Savannah something. And she's a TikTok chick who basically, this is one of these mammies. She's down in New Orleans. She's one of these church mammies who goes to these white churches and she's the black mascot in the white church. So the white folks pat her on the head and prop her up as their Negro mascot as long as she's all about the what about black on black crime talk. So she does all these mammy sambo coon TikTok videos and white people fake give her props so they can hide their racism behind her. So she did a video talking about reparations and how we shouldn't get reparations. Now listen to this mammy talk. Now this is somebody who's pandering to white supremacists. And by the way, whenever you see people like this, they always have their Cash App, their Venmo information so that the white people can send them donations for Coonan. But this is her talking about reparations. Hold on. One second. Hold on. Let me get it together.
I'm seeing a lot of talk about reparations on TikTok, Twitter. There's a pastor in Tulsa who said... I'm seeing a lot of talk about reparations on TikTok, Twitter. There's a pastor in Tulsa who said, we cannot have true reconciliation and healing without reparations. I don't agree with that. It's 2021. How are we to determine who gets reparations and who doesn't? Again, it's...
Okay, that's very easy. Okay, wait. TikTok is tripping. But let me, I'm stopping some of this stuff while she's talking. The people are playing dumb, okay? People are playing dumb. When you hear this, these are talking points that some white supremacists done gave one of their Negro minions, and they're playing dumb, acting like they don't know how to give reparations. Okay, these are bad faith arguments. I've broken it down several times. It is not hard to designate who's going to get reparations. Foundational Black Americans are going to get reparations. Foundational Black Americans who descended from slavery. It is not that hard to trace who was on them plantations. All you got to do is trace back to the 1890 or 1870 census and see who was where, and you can determine who is going to be eligible to get reparations. It's that simple. Hold on.
I'm seeing a lot of talk about reparations on TikTok, Twitter. There's a pastor in Tulsa who said, we cannot have true reconciliation and healing without reparations. I don't agree with that. It's 2021. How are we to determine who gets reparations and who doesn't? Again, it's 2021. Not every Black person is the descendant of a slave, and not every descendant of a slave is Black. And not every person who was a slave was Black. And are we talking...
Okay. We ain't playing that dumb game. We're not playing that dumb game. We're talking about descendants of slaves in America. I don't know what she's talking about. Every descendant of a slave is not Black. No, we're talking about people who are still classified as Black. See how people try to mix it up? This is why we don't include all these other people, because including all these other people in reparations talk, it is designed to create confusion. It is designed to create confusion. It is not that hard to determine. If you are not a foundational Black American, you're not going to get it. See, this is why I like to use the term foundational Black American along with descendant of slaves. You see, because they try to play that game right there. Well, everybody who descended from slaves ain't Black, but they're not foundational Black American. See, foundational Black American encompasses all of that. Foundational Black American encompasses everything. So that just stops all the arguments in their tracks right there. Well, there's some immigrants who were from the Caribbean who was enslaved. They're not foundational Black Americans. Well, there's some white people who descended from slaves. That person is not a foundational Black American. There's some Black folks who came over from Africa later on. That's not a foundational Black American. This is why I use the term foundational Black American, so that people wouldn't try to trick bag the language. Some people are saying the girl is Nigerian. She has a foreign look to her. She looks real studdish. Her teeth are real janky. I don't know where she's from originally. She doesn't have a foundational Black American look to her, though. So I wouldn't be surprised if she's foreign. Hold on.
About slaves who were freed when the war ended, or slaves who were freed maybe even decades after the first slave ships arrived. In a lot of the northern states, slavery ended just after the Revolutionary War. But I digress. Reparations as the first step to healing? Mm-mm. The first step to healing is forgiveness.
Please!
The first thing that comes out of your mouth is, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. Sit down, let me learn you a thing or two. Time heals all wounds, but if you have a wound that hasn't healed, it's probably because you're still picking at it. If you fill your heart with bitterness, there's no room for joy, there's no room for peace. Holding on to bitterness is bondage, and many of y'all have chained yourself to the dead. Even worse, some of y'all have passed that bitterness down to your children. Forgiveness isn't for that other person. It's for you. It's to set you free.
Okay, this is Mammy talk, okay? people who talk this mammy talk, these are enemies of black society. Talking all that, well, we need to forgive. We ain't forgiving a damn thing. This is not an emotional, moral argument. We're talking about what's owed. We ain't playing that forgiveness plantation talk. These folks are enemies to black people. They're enemies to black society. Here's that. It's a scab talk. Y'all picking at a scab. The white supremacist keeps opening the damn scabs. See, we haven't let up on talking about getting compensatory justice. And we're not going to let up. We're not playing these games with these folks. And she looks real studdish and butch. I wouldn't be surprised if she was LGBT. She's real strong in the face. And speaking of LGBT, this one, another moist Sambo. This dude made this video right here. Let me play this. And this dude makes a lot of videos where he's low-key cooning it up. I don't know this Negro's name, but he's a moist little Sambo who does these little talking points. He's a liberal coon. This dude does a lot of liberal coons. So he put this video out, I guess, because so many people are talking about buck breaking. He's up here talking about ain't no gay agenda from the government and all this. But hold on, hold on. Come on, load up. Hold on. Wait, here we go.
Quick public service announcement. No, feminism is not dividing the black community. No, there is not a government agenda to make the black man gay. But yes, you are an Ashy Hotep if you think any of that. Okay? Lotion yourself accordingly, my brother. Okay, thanks, bye.
Okay, so he's like, if you believe that there's a gay agenda from the government, you're an Ashy Hotep. Well, I'm Arthur Ashe then. I guess I'm Ashy. I guess I'm Ashy as fuck then. Because they've admitted back in the 60s and 70s that they have a damn agenda. As we see, nigga, the dude speaking, nigga, you're the agenda. Look at you. You notice the people who are affected by the agenda are the main ones who are trying to deny it. Nigga, you are the agenda. Look at you. Look how wide your pussy is spread open, brother. You are the agenda. You are walking proof of the damn agenda. Yeah, there is an agenda. That's not even up for debate at this point anymore. We see it for what it is. But let's get to the topic of tonight's broadcast. Let's get to the topic of the broadcast tonight. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. We're in here heavy. Now, there was an article on, what was the website? OKAfrica.com. And the article said the ongoing rift between African immigrants and African Americans. The friction between black Americans and African immigrants is now glaringly and painfully playing itself out on social media platforms such as Clubhouse. Could Pan-Africanism be the way forward? Now, the guy who wrote this, his name is Bernard Deo. He's a Nigerian immigrant. And as we know on Clubhouse, basically Clubhouse has a bunch of these non-FBA mammies and sambos who sit online talking shit about foundational black Americans all the time. But let me read this article. Because black people don't exist as a monolith, relationships between each other are mostly defined by common experiences. Arguably, no communities within the black diaspora have exhibited animosity between themselves more than Africans and African Americans. To understand the friction between these communities is to closely examine white supremacy as the culprit. White supremacy is a system or power structure established to prioritize the feelings, interests, care, attention, and prosperity of white people at the expense of other groups. In its role in colonization, violent capture, and forceful removal of Native Africans from their homeland, that's well documented. In truth, a significant number of African Americans today would have remained in Africa were it not for the disruptive event of the transatlantic slave trade. Now, let me stop right there. Let me stop there for a second. Now, see, a lot of them, now this is an African dude trying to blame it on white supremacy. Now white supremacy, they do create rifts, but the thing is, we're fighting white supremacy over here tooth and nail, and you niggas ain't. Now you can say white supremacy did this, did that, but we understand what white supremacy is doing, and we're directing our focus onto replacing white supremacy with justice. Y'all niggas, too many of you, are not focused on that. You're not looking at white supremacy as the enemy. You look at white supremacy as the god. White supremacy is a god to a lot of you in the diaspora, and you know it, and we're going to have to speak truth to power and stop playing. You can talk about white supremacy in the peripheral, but at the end of the day, when the white supremacists show up, y'all eyes get the goddamn bucking. Y'all eyes get the bucking real heavy. And let's be clear. He said, if it weren't for the transatlantic slave trade, a lot of black people would not be here. That is not true. And I've talked about this before. Many black people were already here. Let's be very clear. Many black people were already here, living thousands of years in the North American, South American, Central American continent. Less than 6% of the black people brought from Africa were brought to North America. That isn't to negate the fact that there were a lot of black people brought from Africa, but many of us were already here. That gives us a distinction. Okay? Don't ever lose that fact. Don't ever lose that fact. Most of them were the people brought over from Africa were brought to the Caribbean and South America, places like Brazil. The majority of them. Okay? Let's never forget that fact. But let me continue to read the story. Although this has since been abolished, slavery, it has left internalized racism as a byproduct for black people to grapple with. To stay in context of black Americans and Africans, the source of tensions, African immigrants in America not only have to navigate systematic racism, but also microaggressions within African-American spaces. That's some bullshit right there, okay? So now he's talking about the rift between black Americans and Africans, and he's putting it on black people as if we're the ones doing the riffing. There are no microaggressions. That's bullshit. We don't have no microaggressions against no damn African immigrants. It's not even practical for us to have microaggressions towards a damn African immigrant. For what? Why would we have a microaggression against you? And we're the ones running around here talking about Pan-Africanism. We're the ones talking that Pan-Africanism shit. Y'all ain't talking about it, because if you were talking about it, you would be about it. Over there, y'all not on some Pan-Africanism. No country over there has allowed us to come back and live red tape free. None. Let's keep this shit a buck. And I'm talking about in large numbers. If we go over there, we got to have cash in hand. We got to go over there with big money. We got to go over there building shit. We got to go over there with cash in hand. Nobody's inviting us in none of those African countries stress free without all types of hurdles to jump over. Let's keep this thing a buck. Microaggressions. Nobody has microaggressions against no damn African or even Caribbean immigrants. We don't have no microaggressions. Well, let me read the rest of this. The migration regime that has enabled Africans to arrive in America to seek education, economic opportunities, and others was made possible by the civil rights movement, meaning black people. Meaning black people. And it's very interesting how this dude worded this. He said the civil rights movement, and the way he worded it made it seem like, okay, the civil rights movement included, you know, the old black folks and some of the good liberal white folks. No, it was black people fighting to get Africans and Caribbeans over here because we thought they were going to come in and act as reinforcements for us. Let me read the rest of his article. he's quoting somebody, quote, "I don't think this represents how all Black Americans think, but I think the reason for this tension between Africans is that some Black Americans feel African immigrants come to America to take away opportunities," says Chanel Johnson, a Black American residing in Baltimore, Maryland. We're talking about opportunities in college, in colleges that award scholarships and other educational welfare packages to Black immigrants to thrive. We're also talking about opportunities away from academia. We also think that dealing with racism and discrimination as Black Americans is pushing some of us to see how we are neglected and impoverished by the system. That's not true. We don't think that they're taking away any opportunities. That's a lie. We do not think that they're coming to take away opportunities. We don't look at it like that. Because generally, we don't really, for a long time, we haven't differentiated ourselves from African people because we don't know who's African or not, for the most part, because so many come over and blend in. We don't even know where you're from for the most part. Now, some of us do. We can kind of look at people and tell they're different. But for the most part, we don't look at you as some other different culture outside of us. We're the only group who look at all Black people the same. We don't have that tribal shit that y'all have over in these other countries. Y'all the ones got the, y'all live in a country full of Black folks and y'all a million different tribes and y'all can't get together because of damn tribal beefs and the white supremacists are whooping everybody's ass. We don't have that tribal shit like that over here. And truth be told, a lot of cats come over here, they lose them accents and they blend right in. We don't know what the hell you are. We don't know if you're from another place. So how are we giving microaggressions? And even if we did know you were from some other place, we're not tripping on that. Because we don't have any insecurities about that. But let me continue to read the story. Although the friction between Black Americans and Africans predates social media's popularity, a platform like Clubhouse, for example, is showing how this discord is ever present. The app launched last year to a massive reception to allow real-time conversations. Along the line, it has produced xenophobic attitudes, misogyny, racism, homophobia, transphobia, and anti-Semitism. Black Americans and Africans are no different when it comes to propping up long-held sentiments against each other. This infighting, such as a regular Clubhouse theme on Clubhouse whenever I enter the app and see no room with an inflammatory title entitled "Africans or Black Americans, I'm always thinking something is wrong," shares a Nigerian-based lady, Tracy Imafidan. "I've been in a room where a Black American man was openly xenophobic towards Nigerians and said we always cause problems wherever we go in America." That sounds like somebody from over there trolling. "On the contrary, Nigerians are doing well for themselves in America and becoming successful, whether it's at school or work. And maybe this is what's eating Black Americans up. On the other side, I've witnessed Nigerians and Africans be rude towards Black Americans using police brutality against them." Okay, stop. Okay, listen. Listen. This whole narrative that it's eating us up that you're coming over and you're doing so well, this is a lie that y'all tell each other. This is a lie that these foreign coons, sambos, and mammies tell each other to justify your anti-FBA hatred that you've harbored in these home countries. Number one, you're not doing a damn thing that we've not done already. You're not doing anything. We done been there, done that. Not only have we been there, done that as foundational Black Americans, we've been there, done that in the middle of white supremacists waging open war on us, destroying what we built. We have built over and over again in the middle of a war. It's one thing to build But when you can build something, when somebody's repeatedly putting obstacles in front of you, deliberately tearing your shit down, and you can still dust yourself off and rebuild and rebuild, you can't say shit to foundational Black Americans. You can't say nothing to us. We've been there, done that. There's nothing you're doing that we have not done. Please get off this narrative that we're somehow upset that some of you come over and do well. And I say some. A lot of you, you think doing well is just not being completely dusty. What do you mean do well? Y'all get off that. Y'all come over and you do so much better. You don't. That's a lie that motherfuckers keep saying. You're not coming over doing that much better. Y'all coming over driving for goddamn Uber. You're coming over driving for Postmates. Let's keep it a buck. Living in a studio apartment with eight other niggas. You're not doing it that big. And you're getting that because of what we fought for, what foundational Black Americans fought for. It's time to get some act right out here. You're not coming over doing all so great and so grand. And we want you to. We don't have a problem with that. But don't sit here talking about, hey, look at me and you goddamn lazy Akata. You lazy Akata did not do as good as me, you nigga. Bruh, you are the manager at Fatburgers, okay? You're the manager at Fatburgers, nigga. You got a promotion and you're running around here like the king of Wakanda. Cut that bullshit out. Y'all better cut that goofy shit out. You're not doing that damn great comparative to what we've done. We're doing, you're not doing anything we haven't done. Nothing. You're not doing one single thing that we have not done. And I'm not saying this to denigrate anybody who comes over from the diaspora. The problem is y'all got too many of the coon class coming over here, running their mouths, talking that dumb shit. Running up to the first white person you can see to kiss ass, to keep your green card. Come on, we can't have this coon game. We already got a problem with domestic coons. We don't need foreign coons coming over talking that garbage. There is no riff. There's a one-sided riff. It's coming from your side over there. We don't have no negative names for Black immigrants. Y'all got all types of Akata names. Y'all got all types of names for us. We don't have that. We don't have our version of Tarana Burke. We don't have a foundational Black American version of Tarana Burke going to the Caribbean or to Africa, undermining the people there. We don't have an American version of Candace Owens going to the diaspora, undermining the people in their countries. We don't go to your countries to actively assist the white supremacists with undermining you. We don't do that. We don't do that. It is not comparative at all. It's not comparative at all. Y'all send your coons over here who try to blend in, and they do everything they can to undermine us and exploit us. Look at those mammies from Black Lives Matter organization. Many of those are foreign mammies. They're immigrant sambos and mammies doing everything they can to exploit the deaths of Black people here and enrich themselves while they get white women to lay up under. We don't do that. We don't go over there scamming in Africa. We don't go over there pulling scams in the Caribbean, scamming the public, scamming the government. We don't do shit like that. And when we go to these countries, we show the utmost respect. We're the ones talking pan-Africanism and all that. Let's keep it a buck, man. We're going to have to call this out. This is a one-sided thing. And then people try to talk that African booty scratch a lie. Ain't nobody running around calling y'all no damn African booty scratch and not no damn adults and children. I don't even believe children are saying that shit now. That's an excuse people use to justify undermining us. Let's be very clear. Now, the guy who wrote this article, let's go back to him. Bernard Deo. Now, we looked him up on social media. And we got some tweets on him. Now, this is his social media. If you're looking at the screen, let me read one of his tweets from last year. Now, he's a Nigerian LGBT. I done told y'all, if y'all look at the movie Buck Breaking, we talked about how the white supremacists like to go to Caribbean countries and African countries, and they have something called the Rainbow Railroad, where they will, these white LGBT organizations will fund black gay people in the Caribbean and Africa and elevate them and have them act as the voice for black people. So this is an LGBT dude from Nigeria, and he's tweeting, talking about my taste in men, black coffee always, but sometimes white chocolate. So he's up here campaigning for Zaddy. This dude is campaigning for a damn Zaddy. Here's another tweet. In 1 month, this was a couple of years ago, we had homophobic Kevin Hart and Chris Rock enabling white comedians to use the N-word. No one can convince me that black men aren't the weakest link. So this is what we get from y'all. This is what we get. We get bussified dudes from the diaspora coming over here, taking shots and trying to denigrate foundational black Americans. That's the rift. We don't go over to Africa doing that type of shit. Y'all send y'all buck broken Negroes over here to try to undermine us, and we're going to keep calling their ass out. We're going to keep calling them out for that sucker shit. Y'all not going to get away with that bullshit and not get called out. And then when we call you out, you want to start hollering about xenophobia and all that. If we went to your countries doing that, people would be rightfully angry and run us out of there. And we're G-checking all of y'all Sambos and bussified immigrants who come over here with that bullshit. You're not going to get away with that without us calling you out on it and us identifying that you are an enemy of foundational black American society. It is that simple. But anyway, we're going to make people put some respect on foundational black Americans' names. And we're going to have to put respect on our own names, family. This is why we're getting the Foundational Black American Hidden History Museum. Now, the Hidden History Museum, we're going to talk about black history. We're going to talk a little bit about history globally. The emphasis at the Hidden History Museum is going to be on foundational black American history, which is going to be the first museum of its kind that will emphasize foundational black American history. This is why the Hidden History Museum is so very important. We have to start taking control of our narrative. We have to start taking control of our institutions, ladies and gentlemen. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to do it unapologetically. We're going to do it with confidence. We're going to do it without seeking the approval from white mommy, white daddy, and all of these others. And we're going to do what people who are nation building are supposed to do. Handle our own history, handle our own business, and handle our own destiny. That's the new wave right now. We got to stop being afraid of money. Let's stop money hating on everybody. We're going to have to start getting our resources together and getting on code with our resources and building. We got to build institutions that's going to empower us and our children for generations on. See, in black areas, we put our money in institutions that don't really empower us. See, when we talk about building something, everybody's patting their pockets. When we talk about, hey, let's build something educational, man, I don't know. Can't we just get a grant, man? Can't we holler at Oprah? Shit. Is Quincy Jones available? Y'all start naming celebrities. No. I don't want to hear that. Because when you go to black neighborhoods, you know the best looking buildings that we see in black neighborhoods? No matter how run down a so-called black neighborhood is, there's always two buildings that's in pristine condition in the black neighborhoods. There's always two types of buildings that's always brand new, in pristine condition. Pristine condition, always fly, always new, always newly renovated. There's two buildings that we see. the churches, and the strip clubs. You go to some of these black areas, nigga, the churches are gleaming clean and fly, and the strip joints are state of the damn art, especially down in Atlanta. You go to Atlanta, the strip joints, just the architecture looks amazing. No, no, no. People say Popeye's chicken. No. Churches and strip joints. You go to some, I done been all around the country. I done been through the hoods. It's dilapidated houses, abandoned buildings, brand new strip club. I'm like, really? You drive through some of these. I saw this in Detroit when I went to Detroit last time. It was a brand new damn strip club. Looked like a palace out there in Detroit. All these rundown houses all over the place. You go to these neighborhoods, the strip joint is in tip-top condition. Looks like a palace. Gleaming, shining, clean. Yeah? Especially in Atlanta. My goodness. No, not the liquor store. No, 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 no. We be running these strip clubs. Oh, the strip clubs, boy, are popping, popping. State of the art, everything. You understand? If we can have state-of-the-art strip clubs, we can have a state-of-the-art museum, ladies and gentlemen. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. We got to pool our resources and be on code with our resources. I'll just leave that gem with you. Anyway, let me get up out of here, guys. It's been real. Had an early broadcast this week. Again, singers, ladies, if you can sing, you're in LA, email me because we're having a recording session tomorrow night. We want to hire some female singers for background singing tomorrow night at the studio here in Hollywood. Email me info@tariqelite.com. Brothers, sisters around the country, if you are a sculptor, you know how to sculpt images and paintings and busts, which is kind of rare, but this is why I'm asking. Y'all email me if you know some sculptors, if you're a sculptor, if you know how to do sculpting of human and faces and humans and stuff like that, email me info@tariqelite.com, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I'm up out of here, guys. I'm going to holler at you guys Sunday. Y'all have a great night.